I'm Tom Wilmer. Come along and join me for a visit with Vaughn Lowry. Vaughn is the publisher of 360 Magazine in L.A. Hi, Vaughn. I know very little about the roots of 360 Magazine. Tell us how you invented that.
I came up with the concept with a group of friends that I was very close to, and we all worked in the entertainment industry, one of which is a really good friend of mine named Crystal, and her, myself, and a few others who worked behind the scenes, front of the camera. Crystal and I were models at Ford.
The agency.
Yes, a long time ago.
And you were Joe Boxer, right?
Right. I was the guy that danced around in underwear that made Kmart $1.5 billion, according to USA Today, in 1 year, which was one of the biggest person campaigns in the history of advertising, besides Dell Computers, I believe, and Martha Stewart's.
That's quite a stretch from being a Ford model to being the publisher of a magazine.
Not really, because actually when you do campaigns, and I've worked with a lot of agencies around the country and the world, including and not excluding like Next and Wilhelmina Miami, Next LA, overseas I've had some stunts, different places around the world, London, South Africa, Southeast Asia, Jakarta. So it's just been really a great stepping stone. But what I learned from working in that industry, not only did I go to Cornell and I graduated in 3 years, but prior before graduating to Cornell, I just had a real big interest in fraternities and sororities. So I joined Alpha Phi Alpha, which was founded at Cornell.
And what is that?
That's a predominantly African-American fraternal organization that was founded at Cornell in 1906 by seven amazing guys who really pushed the envelope. Some of the reasons included the fact that they could not join a predominantly white organization on campus, so they decided to do that. But prior to that, when I was at Cornell, I gained an internship at Vibe. But when I worked at Vibe, I worked with Keith Klinskills when Vibe was just about to start, and it was so funny because one day I asked him, I said, "So you're a publicist, right?" And he started laughing, and he went, "Don't you ever call me that again." Because he's a publisher. Complete different thing. And at that time, you know, a lot of females were in that arena, but now I feel like it's just so diverse, way more than it used to be. So there's guys, there's different colors and sexualities and all that stuff. The great thing, what I really loved about it, was that I was just like, wow, this thing has, it's like an amoeba, and it can multiply. So with certain content, you can create other conduits or consumer touch points for your readers and your audience members. And that's what I really loved about Vibe. You know, they had this huge new media section where they always were online digitally. And I got to be in the room and see them create that. And then just to work and talk to some of the writers, like Emil Wibberkin, who was the fashion editor at the time. Danielle Smith was a music editor. I think Alan Light, formerly of Rolling Stone or one of those magazines, I don't know which one, but he was so awesome. At one point, he was editor-in-chief, but it was just really great to be around such diversity and such great energy, and they were all pushing this genre of music, I guess this niche in the industry, which is now pop. It's mainstream music, is rap and hip-hop. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, dude, I don't hear much from rock. I mean, Young Blood is a new artist that we've just pushed on our magazine cover with Universal Records, and he has a song out with House. He was an EDM person, but we never had all this diversity back in the day when I grew up. We didn't have all this, especially in magazines. So when I saw Vibe and I saw how they were pushing the envelope, it just really interested me because it was like, wow, he has a freaking niche. It's so great. It's like commercial. It was edgy. It was just great. And I love the fact that a lot of the people that were featured in there and the models, they looked like they were all different walks of life. And I feel that really captured my attention. And ever since then, I've been looking for something. I feel like Vibe has went through so many different cycles, and they've had different owners. But I just feel like overall, it is it's a different industry right now. And like we all know, right now, everything is going very digital. However, there's a time and place for print. Everybody knows that. But fast forward, you know, modeling for almost 20 years, which is a long time that you... And you're looking at these magazines, and you're going different places. And I grew up in Detroit, and people always have made some kind of a note to me and ask me, like, what are you mixed with? And for the longest, I thought I was Native American, and my uncle did his Ancestry.com, and that's complete opposite. It's, you know, predominantly UK. You know, of course, there's some African blood, obvi. But the thing is like, There's a lot of Irish in our ancestry, and what, you know, our name, Laurie, and my first name, Vaughn, means small in the Irish. But anyway, traveling around the world, doing different campaigns, being blessed with being able to model for some bigger brands, from Skechers to Gap, which is like one of the most iconic brands to be in a campaign for. Everyone knows that. Naomi Campbell has done Gap, Tyra Banks, everyone's done Gap. Every single person I know, Chrissy Charlton. So when you do anything with Gap, for me, that's when I felt the defining moment. And I always loved that Gap showcased such diversity. So I kept looking around. And I was like, every time I see a campaign, it's always Gap. And it's the diversity that's inside of that publication. And that just was like, this can't be it. And United Colors of Benetton is one page or two page ad. Sometimes Gap will do some elaborate 6-page spread or something like that. I was seeing some magazine with a bunch of different top models or supermodels. That was it. Because everybody knows supermodels, top models, people who really make a name for themselves in the industry, not only have personality, but they have a very interesting look. They know their angles. They know who they are. They know what they're selling. I just always looked for those ads. Then I said, wouldn't it be interesting to curate, or somebody would curate a book or a volume or something that actually encapsulated all those things that United Colors of Benetton, Gap, Express, you know, some of those companies always showcase. And I was like, there needs to be something that really showcases that. And it needs to be something that's going to be more lifestyle, culture driven. And that's why I came up with 360, The Circle of Life.
But within the model of 360 is art, music, culture, food, people, and the young generation, the Gen X.
Yes. What I like about 360 is that we are a pop culture and design book. Having that slogan of edgy fashion, lifestyle, and culture is great. But what I've noticed is because our covers have been so diverse, from having, you know, Demi Lovato, you know, that husky rocker pop voice, to having you know, an EDM DJ like Zedd or, David Guetta, and then having a super producer like will.i.am from Black Eyed Peas that, you know, are part of Super Bowl. So those people have great star covers. And you fast forward and you notice that there's a new emerging crowd of young people. They're siblings, and they're pulling each other up by the bootstraps. And it's so interesting and intriguing to see, you know, because they're in it together, and it's great. It's beautiful. It's almost like we're going back to the days when we all were parts of clans and not just like, you're my neighbor. It's like, no. It's almost like back in the day in Detroit when we grew up, like our last name was our clan, or our cousins and our family were clans. Nowadays, I feel like the new generation that I'm encountering, I feel like they'll take up for their family members. I feel like they would. I feel like what they're doing right now is they're empowering their family members. And so for me, taking up for somebody, that's great. That's cute and all. That's awesome. I'm so happy that you took up for me. But I really don't need you to take up for me. What I need you to do is either show me how to do something, take me somewhere I've never been, or open my eyes to a different world. And that's what 360 does for me when I get articles and I help pick and choose what goes in and the color palettes and the way you know, it's decorated and the presentation. It's just really fun. And to me, I always try to make sure that we always choose people who reflect the world that we live in. So, of course, when you read different versions of 360, there's different creative directors, there's different art directors for each issue, and sometimes different contributors, and it just changes and it metamorphoses the book. But the pop culture, what I like about the pop culture aspect of and design is that those are things, if you're a pop culture enthusiast, there's no age limit to that. And so for us, we're a youthful pop culture and design book. The word youth means young. However, some people could be older and have a youthful spirit. I'm sure we all have those older people in their families, including myself, because I'm probably one of them to my nephews.
So you're entering your 40s, and so the young 20-somethings, it is a new and different generation.
I'm not entering my 40s. I'm going into 45 soon, but
well,
yeah. But
the decade of the 40s, somewhere in there.
All right.
All that being said, you work with kids that are 16, 17, 18, 20, and it's a new and a different.
I work with kids who can be 13 years old. I've met some of the most intelligent young people, and it's just so refreshing to know that there's young people who are just as intelligent as you are, if not even more. Also, they're entrepreneurs, they're philanthropists, they're a part of a movement of change, and they want to move forward, and they want to live in a world where we're all, like, together and chilling. It's like, why we got to fight and all that other stuff? It's kind of ridiculous. It's like, for me, when I used to live in Detroit in certain parts of the neighborhoods, I feel like my neighborhood would uplift me. I feel like if I needed something to eat and I was starving and hungry, which was the case a lot of times growing up in an indigent family, you know, household, basically I was able to get my neighbors, they would feed me, they would, like, you know, give me leftovers, you know, if I got hurt or had a boo-boo, or whatever you want to call it, or got into a fight and got hit in the head with a brick, which happened. They kept me up all night long so I wouldn't fall into, you know, into a coma or go unconscious because I got traumatized. But, you know, grew up in those neighborhoods and those areas, you meet young people who grow up so fast because we're trying to survive. And when you're trying to survive, there's a big difference between you going to the grocery store or a local gas station, which I've done on numerous occasions, and we didn't have money in the house. What I had to do is, unfortunately, I literally had to, you know, I had to shoplift. I shoplift bacon and eggs. I put it under my, you know, whatever I had to do, I would do it for my family first and foremost, you know, because we had to eat. And the same thing, I've always loved school, and I always hated the fact that when you go to school, you don't have books and you don't have utensils or writing utensils or things to actually, like, color and highlight like a lot of other young people I've been around. And when I grew up, I've been exposed to a lot of different types of socioeconomic backgrounds, and it's just so interesting to see, like, when you're around those people, how they're, it's just, I don't know, you know, taking notes with different colors and highlighters and all that stuff and having paper to put notes on and having a binder to put it inside of, it makes the world of a difference. Mm-hmm. You're more organized, you know, you know, this is a whole nother world. So when I meet young people nowadays, I feel like they're a reflection of the generation I grew up in, which is kind of refreshing because it's like, I feel like if you're transparent and you're being yourself, they're accepting of you, no matter how old you are.
Has there been an evolution? That's where I want you to go.
Has there been an evolution?
Yeah, the young kids.
I think there has been an evolution. I mean, right now we're in a world of, like, I mean, some people use Adderall to study. Some people use Adderall to have fun, but most people are using Adderall to study in colleges. I mean, some adults are using Adderall like a limitless pill to get through their day and to be able to outperform their coworkers. And I feel like younger people, I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but I'm just saying that they're figuring out ways on how to get ahead of the curve. And I feel like, unfortunately, the world we live in, that's the way to be at times, you know, being able to consume as much information as you can as possible, what it's all about. And I feel like you can do that with different language. And there's a visual language to everything as well. But yeah, I don't want to digress. But yeah, I definitely have evolved. They've evolved into a whole different type of human being that's very creative. They use both sides of their brain. And I feel like this new generation, they want to work. They want to have their own company. They want to solidify their own future because they'd rather bank on themselves than anyone else. And a lot of these corporations have shown us through and through with the recession in 2009 how they laid off all their parents and our friends. I mean, I have friends over on Wall Street making six figures being laid off. It's just ridiculous. They come from that kind of lifestyle and you have to sustain it. I'm not saying I'm sad about them because I've also had people who got laid off making $11,000 a year. And they can't even make ends meet. So it's just really interesting. I mean, we all are kind of sort of displaced right now, if you think about it, because a lot of young people, they can get information that's been cataloged or encyclopedia through Wiki or Google searches. They can build things, learn how to put things together. And it's, I mean, I do it sometimes myself, how to work a watch. I got a G-Shock luxury men's watch. I didn't know how to work it. I thought I had to, you know, manually do the time, and I didn't. I had to download the app, and I pressed the sync button, which is the Bluetooth button in it. And it made everything go to square one and reset everything based on the time zone I was in. Mm-hmm. So I feel like young people, they're being exposed to all that. That new world, that new age of technology. I mean, they're about to come out with a hovercraft car. They have hoverboards already. I'm on an electric scooter, you know. I would never think I would be on an electric scooter. And it's affordable. These are scooters that's like $399. I mean, the world we live in is, it's about accessibility and it's about being able to have some sort of real tangible physical relationship with people if you want to really build. But this day and age, if you can have reach without even having to touch anyone, which is kind of cool.
But the world of communication, for example, when you went to school, is night and day. You didn't have Instagram. You didn't have Facebook.
We didn't, but we had AOL Instant Messenger. We had Yahoo. We also had other websites that I remember, like Black Planet or something for African Americans. There are different ones. So with your dial-up servers, you could dial up on it. You know, and then you would like get on your AIM and you can start a little group, or you had a pay, if you had a paid account or something, I believe you can get a profile with a picture. If you had an unpaid account, you can just chat on there and use the messaging on it, which is fine too.
But that's pretty primitive compared to today.
Well, compared to today, today it is primitive, but it's all the same. It's all the same.
It's just an evolution of.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I feel like that's the world. That's the world when I feel like I came. Mm-hmm. I came about. That's when I was born, is when that stuff started happening. And I feel like when that social and that digitalization started happening, it just made sense to me. And then with the Kmart Boxer Boogie thing, that was great because I had a website that had 15 million hits on it. And so I had a chat room on there, and I built it out. I had YouTube videos. I was probably one of the first YouTubers, but I stopped doing it for whatever reason. I don't know why I did it, but I just stopped it. I don't know if it was time-consuming. A lot of it's probably because of 360. Which is timing something, but ultimately, yeah, I think the young people nowadays they empower one another. I mean, of course, there's bullies and there's cyber bullies and stuff like that. I mean, it is those are called distractions. But the new age leaders, they're a force to reckon with. I feel like the older people, myself included, we should. You can learn from anyone. We can learn from each other. And I feel like learning never stops. But the cool thing is, I'm so happy that a lot of these young people are starting to realize that just because you have a college degree, it's not going to guarantee you a job or career. What it does guarantee, if you can live with somebody in close proximity, it teaches you how to deal with other human beings from different nationalities and cultures and sexualities. It teaches you how to deal with people from different socioeconomic backgrounds, different intellectual levels, because I can go to school, and I have went to school with Japanese students, and I'm from Detroit, and I grew up around the hood. People get shot, murdered, and burned in their house. So being able to be around those different types of people was just, for me, I feel like that makes me such a much more well-rounded person. I mean, I have hung with people who are in gangs and who sold drugs growing up, and, you know, just being a human being. You know, I'm from Detroit, so it is what it is. But the thing is like, I don't condone anything. But at the same time, it's like being able to relate to different people is what I like about the new age, you know, the new human that's emerging, because it's like they, you know, I mean, if you think about it, they're getting all this information from algorithms. I mean, before, me and you would have to go hang out someplace for 10 weeks. I can just get that information in a couple of seconds.
Different world.
It's a different world. And the thing is if you use it, if you don't use it, you lose it.
Well, that being said, we talked earlier about things are transforming and evolving so quickly that if you sneeze, you're behind the curve.
Exactly. And there's a lot of social media platforms like Instagram that are evolving so fast. And I feel like they're extensions of other social media platforms. And it's kind of redundant. It feels like very one-sided and one world that one party wants us to be on one search engine. Because if we think about it, Instagram and Google, and Facebook are all search engines. Mm-hmm. They're not just, you know, social. They're no longer just social, digital platforms to talk and meet and chat and have conversations about certain things that provoke us. They're more of, if I want to find this person, I can search them on here or this or that place.
But Instagram, even in the recent months, has propelled their commercial presence. I mean, every other post is an ad for something.
Every other post. And what I do is I say, hide the ad, it's not relevant, or I didn't, you know, whatever. But, you know, right now they have all these different things to listen to our phones, which we all know, and different algorithms to go into our emails, our texts. And so, you know, there's small brands that I deal with because that's what we pride our brand on is really introducing and reintroducing. But the root word is to introduce, or introduce rather. And basically what we're doing is we're basically trying to push out new things that people have never heard of or new designers. Otherwise, you become like everybody else. You're going to report about Balmain and Givenchy. I mean, there's other brands out there that are just, there's some amazing, hardworking people who can stitch their ass off and who are amazing cut and sewers. You know, we've seen that from Project Runway. With Michael Knight, the guy that passed away, unfortunately, he was very talented. There's a ton of people on there who are talented, but there's a ton of people in this universe who are talented, they just don't have the platform. And that's why I feel like social media has really leveled that. A lot of us, we want everything here and now, and so I don't have enough attention span to watch regular network television.
So 360 Magazine is a forum, is a platform for introduction, for emerging artists.
I feel like it is a platform. I mean, part of our other covers, which you know, one of our covers that we pride ourselves most on is the Who. You know, that's the trilogy. You know, that's like they're in the same caliber. You know, is the Beatles, and you know, we did their 50th anniversary. We helped them push that album, their last tour, I believe. It was just a really beautiful feeling to see that, you know, that they retweeted us and they actually posted us on their Facebook. It was just great. And for me, I loved, you know, a lot of those songs that they have. Pinball Wizard, what is it? They have a ton of good songs. But I'm from Detroit, so there's a musical inclination there. I mean, enough said, Diana Ross, you know, Aretha Franklin, Anita Baker. I mean, we have Barry Gordy. I mean, Motown was, you know, the presence and the energy is ever so flowing in that town. It's in the blood of all of us.
You know what's really interesting? Motown, you and I have been there together. And it's literally this neighborhood evolution of musicians. I mean, you could put your arms out and touch half of the root core of the Motown sound in your town. That's pretty amazing.
Right. And I feel like I was at one point in kindergarten or third grade, I went to Goalie Educational Center, and I was actually, for a brief moment, I was the lead of the choir, of the kids' choir, and I actually did a PBS special or something. We're singing Cinderella, Sweep the Floor, but I feel like, wow, if I was to continue, like, playing with my voice and my vocal tone and all that, I probably could have really had another career path, just a whole nother life, period.
It's not too late.
Well, for me, it is.
Maybe not.
No, you just never know. But the thing is that when you have all these, like, talented people in your city and they're all about the arts, I think that's the most beautiful thing. I mean, we live in a global society, and that's the hashtag we've used for quite some time. And I feel like we used it for, like, 8-9 years. But I think, like, Oprah used it in an article or something online, and it just kind of, like, became this trend. And then our colleges are using it, but we coined that phrase global society because we feel like it's going to be a group of people, and that's our readers, who are going to appreciate and accept each other's uniqueness. And I think celebrating uniqueness is what it's all about, and that's what we're about.
Cool. Vaughn Lowry, thank you for sharing. Publisher of 360 Magazine.
Thank you for having me, Tom. You're amazing.
So are you. I'm Tom Wilmer reporting. We've been visiting with Vaughn Lowry, publisher of 360 Magazine, based in Los Angeles, but serving the world.